Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to topics exploring around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. I'm David Stark. I'm a management strategy consultant and author, and I'm joined by Justin Royer, a strategy and service designer and my co-host. And we're glad you joined us today in a new series called People Series we've been doing for a few weeks right now. We'll continue to talk about with people for the next 6 months, leaders in various parts of this region, talking about interconnectivity and how this lens of the human body is a better metaphor today than the rigid machine has been in the past. And so we're going to get to talk about that a lot today. I also want to remind you that you can join this conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective, or you can join us on our new LinkedIn group, Business Connected. You can also listen to all of our podcasts and leave us reviews, please, on iTunes.
Just the good ones, Dave. Yeah,
that's right. And we've been getting a lot of podcasts downloaded lately, so we'd love for you to do that, please.
Just the good reviews. Dave, I'm extremely excited today because, as you know, we're in the People Series, right?
Yes, we are.
The People Series. And so what we do, folks, is we talk to people. And today is no exception.
That's right.
We're going to be talking to people.
That's what
not just Dave and I. Not just Dave and I. So our audience will be happy. We're not just talking to ourselves. We actually have a special guest. And I would like to start to introduce our guest. His name is Jonathan Anderstrom. Jonathan and I have worked together multiple times throughout our careers. We've intersected in the world of digital and kind of creative agency. I worked with Jonathan the first time when he was at an agency, and I was on the quote-unquote client side. So he was my agency partner, and then I kind of followed him, even though he left that agency. I eventually went there just because I wanted to be like Jonathan, and I was trying to chase him, and I couldn't quite get him. But Jonathan went on to start his own firm called Creed Interactive. It's a great interactive or digital shop here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Jonathan's been doing that for the last decade or so. And again, the name of the shop is called Creed Interactive. They define themselves as a lean interactive shop that passionately designs and delivers highly developed interactive solutions for equally passionate clients. That sounds pretty tasty.
It sounds good to me.
So, Jonathan, I know that you're all in all things that you do, you know, and, we're glad that you're all in on this show. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. Again, Dave and I have been talking to business leaders in the community, and we're excited to have you on the show. I gave the folks just a quick intro there, but that's only scratching the surface. I would like to allow our audience to hear a little bit about you directly from you. Could you give everyone kind of the update or the scoop on who Jonathan is?
Sure. Well, I grew up in southern Minnesota. Here, listening to actually KTAS of all things on the radio, and became a follower of Christ at a young age. Eventually, making my way to Northwestern College here on campus, and where I met my wife. We just celebrated our 14th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations! Yep.
That's great.
And we have four beautiful children to show us the output of that marriage.
Spoken like a digital agency guy.
And like you mentioned, Justin had the opportunity to work in several large ad agencies at the early stages of my career before launching Creed, now 10 years ago. It's already been 10 years.
Just crazy.
Celebrated that anniversary here. And it's been a wonderful ride. So we have had some fantastic clients, yourself included, and have a fantastic team that we've worked very hard to build, a tight-knit and talented team over the years here.
Yeah, that's awesome. So coming back to KTIS and Northwestern is kind of like a homecoming for you, then.
It is. I live right across the street from the recording studio here.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Well, it's good to have you back. I'm sure there was a trembling in the force when you stepped back on campus today and all that. Well, congratulations on 10 years at Creed too. That's no small milestone. I mean, being an entrepreneur myself, I always look at the stats that say that, you know, something like 90% of all new businesses don't make it past year one,
right,
or whatever that is. So making it past year 10, I think you're well into the long tail of probability.
Yeah.
So congratulations. And I want to unpack that a little bit more because there's a secret sauce, I think, in there somewhere. And during this show, we want to find out what that is, Jonathan. Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, as I was researching you, because I had to do that because I've only known you for 10 years, in places it says that, you know, you started Creed because, quote unquote, I made a promise to myself to venture out and create a development shop that had a set of beliefs or a creed based on the belief that clients deserve more deeply committed partners.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting because to me that also implies that throughout your other experiences, you saw things that you didn't think were the way that they should be, and you decided, hey, I can do that better. It should be done differently or better, and I think I can do that. I'd like to see if you could talk a little bit about that. Talk to us about the founding values, if you will, and the opportunity that you saw in the marketplace that just wasn't the way you thought it should be.
Sure. Well, working at a number of large ad agencies, I had the opportunity to see a high quality of work. But one of the things I also observed was having a facade with the agency to the client, right? So the client pays the agency's bills, and therefore the agency wants to look in the best possible light as they can. And so what would happen is either unrealistic expectations would be set or unrealistic promises would be met, and there would be anywhere from an opaqueness to outright deception on what was happening behind the scenes. So to the client, these projects would be going swimmingly. Behind the scenes, there'd be absolute chaos. And the best case scenarios, it would that facade would continue. But oftentimes, there'd be issues where that facade would drop, and a client would see the chaos and just the unprofessionalism behind the scenes and be shocked, you know, that these broken promises would be so stark. And after experiencing that and even contributing to that, had an opportunity to see that facade drop and see the damage and the collateral damage that occurred as a result of that, I just decided at that point, quitting the agency I was at the time, that I was never going to do that again. And so I decided with Creed to draw a line in the sand and say, this is what we stand for. This is what we believe. You can either work with us or not. And that's fine, but the word creed means a set of beliefs. And so we drew our line in the sand saying, here's our beliefs. These are unchangeable, and do with it as you may. So it gives us the opportunity to talk about what our beliefs are right from the outset of any relationship.
That's awesome. I mean, we talk about purpose a lot here,
we
Dave.
Do. Absolutely.
And that's
the
one
name
of
our programs. So, yeah. So why don't you tell us a few of those beliefs?
Certainly. Well, they stem from my personal belief set.
That's good.
Of course. And early on in my life, my life verse was Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. And that was very near and dear to my heart. But what ended up happening over time is that while I had the vertical relationship worked out, working for the Lord, the horizontal relationship tended to be successful but more and more isolated. So a few years ago, I shifted my life verse to the great commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And adding that little piece at the end really changed a number of things for me and for our organization. So the way that translates is into four core values, the first of which is being wholehearted, and that's where our all-in branding comes from. And a passionate team of dedicated individuals that are all in what they do. The second belief is serving others. So there's a significant nonprofit component to what we do. It's through a combination of volunteerism, pro bono work, paid work for nonprofit organizations, and the intersection of all three of those in various capacities. The third belief is excellence in what we do. That's why we get hired, because we're excellent and we're good at what we do. And then the fourth belief is being resourceful with our resources, being a good steward of what's entrusted to us, and treating our clients' money as if it's our own.
That's great. I want to ask about, given those values, part of what you were describing, what you were leaving, was a non-transparency, right?
Correct.
Even going to deception. Right?
Yep.
So how do you solve that now at Creed, like they were not solving it at some of the other places you were?
Yeah. Having some terrific business mentors has been very helpful for me. Mm-hmm. And the most influential mentor of mine sat me down and just reviewed our mission and our vision and values at length. And I thought it would be a coffee conversation. 2 years later, we're still going through round 30 revisions of that.
Wow.
Till we really nailed it. And so the values that we set are not the aspirational values that you put on a poster in the break room with an eagle soaring above them, right? We really tried to make them authentic to who we are and what we do. So we have the values in our conference rooms named after the values that we have as an organization. So you go book the excellence room, right? Yes. Within our performance reviews, we also will list out the four values and then evaluate people's performance against those values. And so they get a raise or not, depending on how well they live out the values of our organization.
That's great.
And so we give permission to hold each other accountable to that, for our staff to hold me accountable to that, and vice versa. So if something is out of line with those values, we're very quick to point that out to one another.
That's great. So it's definite accountability right down to the last person.
Right.
Yeah, it's great.
Jonathan, you mentioned that you didn't have a picture of an eagle on there, but do you have other forms of wildlife that are a part of that, like other birds or potentially just other mammals?
No.
Okay. Again, I'm trying to get to the secret sauce here, people. I don't know what makes the organization tick, and if it's not an eagle, what is it?
Sounds like it's not the animals.
So, Jonathan, one of the many things that makes Creed Interactive unique is that the way that you guys use physical office space as well. Yeah. And I've been to your office before. It's really fantastic. And you noted that the last time we talked, it's like, well, Justin, it's a good thing you came on this day, because if you had come tomorrow, there would be no one here.
That's right.
And I looked at you like, what? So can you tell the people a little bit about how you do physical office space at Creed?
Sure. Early in my career, I had the opportunity to read a book called Getting Real, which was a book written by Jason Fried's, who founded a company called 37 Signals. Mm-hmm. And at the time, he and eight other employees were running a $20 million company with nothing but themselves. And they thought, we're doing so great, the eight of us, they're spread out across the globe. What if we brought each other together in Chicago, booked an office, and all worked together in one spot? So they went and did that, and what they found is that their productivity just tanked. Mm-hmm. Some of the most talented people in the world, when they're in the same physical space, could not operate well with one another. And so the concept that he drew out of that was the idea of deep work. And since then, a book has come out by the title Deep Work, and more thinking has come around that. But the idea is that having large blocks of uninterrupted time are much more effective than shorter bursts of highly interrupted time. Mm-hmm. And the concept is similar to sleep. With REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, that's when you get your deep rest. And the concept is that work is the same way. You deep work when you are the most focused and most interrupted. So if you worked late in the evening, if you worked on a weekend when there's no interruptions, and you're like, wow, I got a whole day's worth of work done in a short period of time, that's the concept. And so we build that right into our schedule. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday are our deep work sessions, our task-oriented days. And we use passive communication via instant message or email to communicate back and forth those days. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays are our collaboration days, where we work very closely together and we try to book all of our meetings. So our offices often are empty those days. In fact, we just booked another tenant that is co-locating a space on a timeshare and are there on the days that we're not there.
Smart.
I just went to a conference last week that they give every year on all the different collaborative things that are happening. But it was a sub-theme of the conference of saying, you know, so how do we boundary this?
Right.
Right. It's powerful and it's important, but it's definitely not all your time. You can lose so much time in certain companies because they're not allowing for deep work like you're talking about.
Right.
Yep. Well, Jonathan, it's pretty awesome stuff. In fact, time is flying as usual, so we're going to take a quick minute break, and I want to let everyone know that we'll be back in a minute talking to Jonathan Anistrom about his secret sauce over at Creed Interactive. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. We'll be right back.
Justin and I wanted to take time personally to thank you for listening to our programs and podcasts. We can make a greater impact if we have time with you to be of service to your organization directly. We just want to talk about a few areas that we're currently working in that we can be of service in. Justin, why don't you launch out?
Dave, I see a couple of things. One is siloed organizations, where that structure really prevents them from sensing and collaborating as well as they could. And the other is asset-centered design instead of human-centered design, which leads to a loss of relevance with customers.
Yeah, and I see competitive pressure increasing on many organizations where they're losing clients, they're not getting sales that they should. Also, I'm seeing in growth companies that they don't know the predictable stages they go through, and so all of a sudden they're growing and they stop.
Whatever may be facing you and your organization, Dave and I would love to roll up our sleeves and help you navigate this volatile and complex world. You may simply reach out to us at davidstarkcollective.com and click on the Contact Us page. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer and Jonathan Anderstrom.
Anderstrom.
Right? Anderstrom. Yep. Thank you. Whew. Anderstrom is with us today, and he's talking about his company, Creed, and how it was founded and how they work. We just talked about how he has workspaces. He does 3 days where they're really doing deep work off-site where they can have concentrated time, and then they have 2 days where they can be collaborative together, and it's the balance between those that really helps this organization work, right?
Absolutely.
And now, why don't you dive into the interconnectivity part of this, Justin, just to kind of go to our theme.
Yeah, Jonathan, you knew this was coming because the show's all about interconnectivity, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't a softball. This is a fastball. I'm kidding. This is
bring
softball.
It, bring the heat.
Oh, okay. No, we talk a lot about interconnectivity. We think that this is one of the bigger themes in business and leadership in general, and it's materially changed the way that people work and that organizations go to market. I'm curious to see how Creed and how you see interconnectivity. Like, how do you see that shaping the business world around us today?
As a digital shop, we have the opportunity to leverage technology and are often early adopters to that technology. So one of the things that we've just observed is how flat the world has gotten. And our largest project this year is working for a global organization trying to get their global units to be able to talk to one another through internal intranets and portals and using technology to facilitate those internal conversations across their global organization. So one of the things that we've observed just with a flattened world is the access to other countries and other environments. Last year, my wife and I had an opportunity to go on a trip to Haiti, and while we were there, our hearts were broken to see the poverty there. In particular, there was one individual in a baby's hospital that was just an infant, but due to malnutrition, probably wasn't going to make it. And it was a situation where it just broke our heart and picked up the baby and just sobbed at this broken world. And one of the beauties of the interconnectivity of this flattened world is that we didn't have to just leave that baby there. I was able to go back a few weeks later and actually find this baby that was released and was back on the streets after having a near-death experience just a few weeks earlier, and grab hold of that baby and help him get connected to an orphanage there. And then through the interconnectivity of our world, have been able to help that orphanage hire staff, get some of the resources that they need, get connected to some other nonprofit organizations, and have phone calls direct from Haiti on my lunch break, taking calls from people that speak broken English in a way that may not even have been possible 10 years ago. So that's just one example. Another would be even with our workforce, having a couple individuals from the Ukraine that come back and forth, and some of the projects that don't meet our criteria we'll give to them as a reference, and they do a fantastic job, and they speak English just as well as you or I, and are just as accessible as you or I as well. So I'm sure both of you have had experiences similar of our flattened world, but that's kind of how it has worked for us.
That's great. I mean, it's having a digital nervous system all over the world, right? So now I can have subcontractors in the Ukraine, or I can be partnership with somebody who's in Argentina. I mean, it's a very powerful image. It's much more... Again, it's more like an agile human body because it's networked, it's webbed, right? It's not under one pyramid, if you will,
right?
And cranking on a machine, but it can come from so many places. And so it gives you a much wider berth of what's possible, just like you're describing in that illustration. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick on the digital thread for a second too, because we talk about interconnectivity and it's enabled by a lot of different things, but one of the most pervasive things seems to be digital technology and the internet, which I believe is just a series of interconnected tubes, but I'm not sure how that whole thing works. People tell me that. But I also think that digital is a very intimidating thing, or can be, and there are leaders out there that are listening to this show right now, which probably acknowledge two things. One is that digital is a very important thing to get a hold of, and B, digital is a very scary thing to get a hold of. And I'm curious, I mean, you guys are at Create Interactive, you guys are all about digital. And what do you see out there in terms of why do you think it's so intimidating? How do you deal with that? You must deal with this on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, we get hired to make web applications to communicate and to make business work better. And so how we do that certainly can be intimidating. But where we try to focus is on what are the business objectives, just like any consultant would. Mm-hmm. What are you trying to accomplish? And if we can start the conversation there, all of a sudden the scariness or the intimidation factor of the fact that we're using digital tools to accomplish that decreases. Also hiring very smart people helps with that. I think one of the things that our firm has been able to do is build long-term partnerships with our clients. And a part of that is both transparency and education. So giving people an understanding at a high level of what we're doing and why, and educating them on that. They may not need to know all of the code that goes into that, but they do need to understand how things are connected and what impact one decision makes from here to over there. And giving them just a sense of dignity that they may not understand the depth of what we do, but being humble enough to know that at one time we didn't know what that was either, and that there's a learning curve in any field is helpful.
Right. There's so much out there around digital technology, and like you said, I think that's a good thing for our audience to take part of. I mean, you guys are a fantastic digital shop, and you're acknowledging there are things out there that you don't even know. maybe humility is part of the secret sauce, Dave.
Absolutely, but, and changing all the time, right? It's constantly being updated and morphed. And you're connecting a business like this, Jonathan. Does a learning curves of software or cloud resources or whatever, is that a problem as you start to work with the organizations?
Yeah.
Or is it so intuitive that doesn't happen very often?
Well, technology is always changing, right? Yeah. So what was the best technology 5 years ago is no longer the best technology.
Yeah.
And so one of the key traits that we look for in our hiring process is the ability to learn quickly, mm-hmm. even over experience, because we know it's going to change. And so one of the formats that we have within our organization is sending people to conferences all the time. And we'll send them pretty much anywhere. But the deal is when they come back, they need to do a lunch and learn for the rest of the team on what the takeaways are from that conference, whether it's a technology or a library or a new process or a new trend. And that's one way to try to stay up to date.
Because
you're always learning in any industry, but particularly in technology.
Absolutely. That's great.
Well, Jonathan, you know, our show is called Working with Purpose, right? You know, that's the name of our show. And so we're wondering, Jonathan, and maybe this, again, could be the secret sauce, but what role does purpose play in your professional life, and how has it kind of influenced Creed culture today?
That's a great question. I let the cat out of the bag a little bit earlier, just referring to my life verse of loving the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind, and loving my neighbor as myself. And so I think that the purpose of Creed boils down to those two things of working with excellence, working hard, and then serving other people and being outward focused. And if at the end of the day we accomplish those things, we feel like we're successful. One of the things that we did as organization is we ranked four different elements of our business: our team, our work, our clients, and our profits. And we feel like any organization needs to identify of those, what are the priorities?
Mm-hmm.
And so what was right for us, it's not right for every organization, is that we decided to put our team first. We decided to put our clients second, our work third, and our profits fourth. So as a result of that, we make decisions based on that. And so we will fire a bad client if they're being unreasonable. We will do work that may not be our favorite if it helps our team. And we'll sacrifice profits if it's what's best for our team and our clients.
That sounds like secret sauce to me.
Absolutely.
Right there, Dave.
Yeah. So a couple things, Jonathan. What if people want to get a hold of you or your organization, exactly how would they do that?
Our website is creedinteractive.com, mm-hmm. C-R-E-E-D, interactive.com, and that would probably be the best way.
Okay. So that's through that website's best way to get a hold of you guys.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. I want to kind of ask one more thing. What's great that you told me is that these values actually allow you to have a diversity of belief backgrounds interacting. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. By focusing on these core values, we have a very diverse group of people coming from different faith backgrounds. So we have atheists and Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses and Christians and a mix of all the above working for us. And as long as we can center on those values, it's been a great place to work.
Thank you, Jonathan. That's one thing. And one thing I want to close the program with today is, like what Jonathan's describing around values, I just want to remind us that this weekend, Feed My Starving Children is teaming up with the Somali community in Minneapolis and the Jewish community, and there's a mobile pack happening at the River Center. We need 30,000 volunteers. We're well on our way, but we really still need more. You can do that at fmsc.org. That's feedmystarvingchildren.org, fmsc.org. And sign up for that. I hope you will. Thank you, Jonathan, for being here. You've been listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Thanks for listening.